Hello. Welcome.
Why do you always start with such a ridiculous voice?
I think it's hilarious. I don't know.
Hello. Welcome. Hello, Elaine. We're making a podcast.
It's either me or the voice, Jerry.
It's cold. That shot wasn't cold. All right. So, $2 Domestics, episode 3, after
almost
2 months, a month?
Yeah. March 30th. Yeah, it's been a while.
That's math. I can't think of how.
Anyway.
We know that one of you guys have, like, a countdown clock that's been counting the days and the minutes and the seconds. And that's okay. I'm all right with that. But sorry to leave you hanging. But life kind of happened, and
We have other things.
Other things to do
than a podcast that 10 people listen to.
Hey, I think we got up to like 20. Or,
did we get up to 20?
I think last time it was like 39 downloads, actually.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Oh, yeah. Good for us.
Yeah, and I had a couple people tell me they liked it in the RL.
Oh.
So, yeah, I know. Wow. I was like, what? You listen to it?
That's awkward for all of us.
Right? Mainly we're just entertaining ourselves and recording it. This is really actually the most masturbatory thing I think I've ever participated in.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Ross.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's the deal. When I first, Phil approached me and he was like, hey, how are we going to record? Let's record again. And we picked this week, and it was funny because initially we thought to ourselves, wow, we're going to like record after a weekend where the majority of MLS didn't even play, and the Women's World Cup, so we'd only really have like the women's team to talk about. And then completely forgetting about the U.S. Open Cup. I will be flat out honest and say that we completely forgot about the Open Cup.
Yeah, like 2 days before, I texted him and was like, did you realize that that's like the same day as the Open Cup? I mean, are we going to watch that at the... Let's record the next day.
Yeah.
Like, that's... What if, especially because I think the timeline, we were going to record like an hour before, hour and a half before the Open Cup game would have started.
Yeah.
Like, which, how dull would that have been compared to the fact that we know what happened in that game?
Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, what I'm setting up here is that we were anticipating probably having one of the most boring podcasts, or more boring than we already are, but we were expecting it to not have any content whatsoever,
and
now our challenge is to just try not to talk about the Sounders the entire time.
Because, oh my god.
What a meltdown. One of the greatest, like, let's just go. Let's start. All right, so here's the deal. I mean, I read through my timeline this morning because I just wanted to relive
the glory.
You know, the glory that was that game. And I wanted to kick myself for how pessimistic and cynical I was being about that game and talking like, oh, it's like this is the second out of four meetings that were guaranteed, you know, and like, with the Sounders, and we're getting into the point of diminishing returns, and like, everyone's just kind of going through the motions, and then the first half did not help that at all. It was one of the ugliest, crappiest halves.
There were moments,
seen,
but
between
not really.
Portland and Seattle.
It was, yeah.
And so to end in the way that it ended, which can only be described as like an instant Cascadian classic.
Valeri goal, beautiful.
Yeah, the Valeri goal was unreal.
So, Rodney Wallace, also, golden assist. Yeah, so that Valeri goal, excuse me, fabulous. Great cross in, that extension that he gets. I mean, like, I know I saw the FO account, like, tweet it, like, seven times. Like, look at the extension of his leg. And I'm like, he's got nice-looking legs. And that was a good goal. Like, I'm all for it. And then Sounders came hard after that. Like, they discarded. The game got better at that point. If only just because it seemed like the Sounders didn't really care. They came into it really complacent, being like, we've never lost at Starfire Field.
Never lost at Starfire Field. We've won 17,000 of these U.S. Open Cup trophies, but we don't care.
So they, you know, like, and they were playing like it. It wasn't impressive. I mean, they started Deuce on the bench. Oba Femi, though, actually, that man is terrifying.
Oh! Columbus just scored.
Oh, poor... Is this the
Richmond Kickers.
The Kickers? The Kickers.
Richmond Kickers.
Who got the goal? Is that... That's not Bedell, is it? We're watching the Richmond-Columbus game.
Yeah, you guys can't see what we're doing right now.
But,
sorry.
I mean, we just said both names, so I don't know if I needed to say, these are the two games the teams are watching, because we just said it.
So when you start yelling, it's because we're currently watching Columbus.
Yeah. So if you... yeah, so if you want to experience the game with us, what you need to do is go and... So I think when we started this match, or when we started the podcast, the match was like 5 minutes in. So, no, maybe 8 minutes in, because we're...
Why don't you just tell them that right now, go on and start at the first goal.
Yeah, okay, it's at 18 minutes and 24 seconds.
But that's only until we decide to skip over to the New York...
When does that even start? I didn't notice that.
4:30.
Okay, well, we will...
It's like
10, 8 minutes?
Yeah, 8 minutes.
Anyway, they just scored. They just scored. And I kind of want, because at this point, the Timbers are going to win everything. So I want some upsets in the remaining game. So when we go on to play the other ones, playing...
Because here's the deal. I'm going to be that guy, and I usually root against MLS in the Open Cup. Aside from the Timbers,
I root
against MLS, like, for multiple reasons, but, like, I just don't like rooting for them. And so far, in terms of, you know, play in the Open Cup, MLS has been dominating.
Yeah, they just steamrolled. I think part of me wishes, I mean, like, I understand the reasons why you don't bring the MLS teams in until the fourth round, right? Like, they already play a lot of games. It's, you know, you give some of the lower teams a chance to kind of progress and everything like that. But, like, it's, I don't know. I wish there was more. I guess I don't know the structure of, like, the FA Cup, like, entirely. They do a similar thing, but I don't know. It feels like there's not as many upsets in the Open Cup.
Oh.
Maybe. I'm forgetting.
Are you aware of Portland's history in the Open Cup?
No, because selectively, I am forgetting.
The reason why we're so excited about beating Seattle isn't that, like, we beat Seattle. It's partially because we beat somebody.
I'm trying to forget. I'm trying to, like, actively forget about. So, like, I'm embracing the positive present, and I'm trying to forget the negative past. And you're not letting me.
I'm sorry.
I'm spouting off bullshit, but it's to help me believe what I need to believe.
All right, so let's go back to the game.
This one? The one that we won.
The Timbers one. So obviously this was the headline game of the Open Cup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only MLS team playing against the defending champions. It's after having the coach come out midweek and say, we are going to take this very seriously, we're going to start the strongest possible lineup, and they did. So Ridgewell's late scratch. But that was illness. I think the plan was to have him. And frankly, we had to play Paparotta, who's been great in the few times that he's actually been able to come on and play. I mean,
and one of the things after this game is that everyone has just been beating the 7-11 drum.
Oh.
7-11. And it's like, you do realize that, like, we didn't have our starting center back pairing.
Yeah.
And they still managed to hold off Obafemi Martins and the Sounders for 70 minutes. Like, give us a break.
I don't understand. So, like...
Or, sorry.
So,
not,
it's...
Yes,
so
it was 79, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, they're like, oh, it doesn't really... it's not important because we only had... But, like, whose fucking fault is that you had seven men, right? Like, you know?
And At some point, you have to take accountability for your actions.
They would say the ref. But, like, how they... Which is stupid, right? So, like, the Evans red card... Two professional fouls.
Yeah.
Like, and he took both of those, like, you know, he took them well, right? He was just like, all right, fine, that's my, you know, and he went off.
And to be honest, like, here's the deal, though. Like, if you're a player and you want to use that excuse, like, even when you play, like, with Toledo as a ref.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at this point, everyone knows that's his reputation. So why are you even pushing the envelope?
Don't give them a fucking chance, right?
Well, don't give them a reason to. And not only that, play better. Like, make it so the ref doesn't even matter. Like, if you go in there and win
your job, then,
like, no one's going to even care about
the referees. I don't get the ref hate on this. So the first red card, that's a red card. two yellow cards. That's how the game works, and both of those yellow cards, I think, were justified. And so the accidental elbow, it doesn't look intentional, frankly. That second one, whoever, is it Azira who got the second red card from the Sounders? It doesn't necessarily look malicious, but you kind of got to keep your elbows tucked in, right? Like, if you make contact with someone's face with an elbow, whether or not it's intentional, and you run the risk.
And again, it's that's after you've already seen somebody get sent off.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you can't act like, oh, this guy's giving out red cards tonight.
And
like,
then, I mean, the fucking third, I'm swearing a lot today, by the way, the third red card, how can anyone defend that? Deuce starts yelling at the ref. He gets a yellow for dissent.
And that's the best part, was that he actually had a yellow.
Yeah.
If he would have just let it be and, like, not thrown a tantrum, he would have just gotten a yellow.
He keeps going, and then he takes the rule book, the little book out of the ref's hand, throws it on the ground, picks it up, rips it in half, and throws it.
His first temper tantrum wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So he had to go out and throw the second one.
Oh, hey, Richmond just equalized. Look at that. We missed the goal because how ridiculous was Dempsey? Like, so
we can't even move on to today's US Open Cup action. Because Dempsey Gate or Deuce Gate is still going.
It's so ridiculous. So, one, the laws of the game define assault by a couple ways. So, like, physically assaulting the ref, right? But then there's also his personal property or part of the uniform. And if you rip up, if you try to harm or break or do damage to the ref's person or his uniform or personal belongings, that counts as assault.
Yeah, and which assault is like comes with a minimum of a 3-month
ban. And then it gets into some weird things because that's the USSF, like, that's the Open Cup, but then also the national team, and then, like, there's the relationship between the MLS and the Federation and whether or not, like, it doesn't seem like it go to the MLS, but also it seems like if they can find any way to not punish Deuce at all, they'll do that, you know? Like, it's the implications of that. But anyway, all that being said, like, how can anyone defend that? So, like, I just don't understand why they're like, well, the ref wasn't... No, like, it doesn't... I don't understand it. I will,
like,
say...
Like, for me, what I'm noticing with most people who are, like, supporting Clint Dempsey, it's kind of like this, like, childhood WWF thing. Like, remember when Vince McMahon, they tried to, like, make Steve Austin the heel? You know what I'm saying? And he comes in, and he, like, starts beating up his, you know, boss, Vince McMahon. And everyone's expecting, like, oh, like... he's going to be the heel, and he's going to be this... No, he turns into, like, this super popular anti-folk hero guy, and, like, that's what Seattle... Their whole city, their whole sports city is all about that. Like, I mean, Seahawks... Yeah,
it's a
terrible city.
They take it to... Well, obviously. they take it to extremes. So, like, on one hand, so, like, I realize that while we're saying this about Seattle... I kind of love it when, I don't know, Will Johnson taught the ref how to count.
Right.
You know, like, that's, so it's a spectrum. Because he taught him how to count, something that, you know, maybe we can blame the schools in the U.S. for him not knowing, whatever, you know. Like, but, you know, there's some cheekiness, right? There's when he threw an absolute right fit last year, like that gif that everyone always likes to poke.
That's so pitiful.
But see, that got closer to being like, really, what the hell are you doing? And then, walk a mile. Pick up some binoculars and keep looking. Then you see ripping the ref's book in half. Like, it's so far away. Like, so that's the thing. I've seen a couple Sounders respond. Like, oh, you guys love it.
If Will Johnson did it, you guys would. And I'm like, no.
No. If
Will Johnson, like, when I love the man, he's probably my favorite timber.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Maxi Rudy are pretty much tied right now.
I love me some Shar, but it's not like I hate those guys, right?
No,
like,
I mean, I love them all.
Exactly.
But ultimately, like, Will Johnson will always have a special place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just...
And it's just one of those things where, even with saying that, like, that kind of crap on the field is just...
It gets a little petulant. Like, you know, it's one of those... Yeah, and it's... Oh, the other thing, I forget who tweeted it. Sorry for not giving one of our listeners, I'm sure, credit. But someone's, like, said, if you would have told me that a team playing the Timbers got three red cards and Will Johnson wasn't even in the country... I would have slapped you in the face and called you a liar. Like, it was... Yeah.
For sure. And the best part about this, though, and one of the things that people don't realize... Well, obviously the win.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think people realize the win. That's the best part.
As Timbers fans, there's a lot about last night that feels really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But do you know what's really funny about this? With how terrible of an organization that the Sounders are, like, and how douchey that whole team is, and, like, just how institutionalized that douchebaggery is that, like, the Atlanta Silverbacks under Eric Winalda was worse. Last year, they alone had five red cards against the Colorado Rapids.
Kind of ridiculous.
That was like the Sounders was probably one of the best meltdowns in the history of Cascadia.
It's wonderful,
but understand it doesn't even hold a candle to like. Freaking Winalda in the Silver.
Well, did Winalda say he was going to choke the ref, though? Because we haven't even got to the fact that Siggy said he removed himself.
He left his team. Because there's still time on the clock, and he just walks off. You know what?
Because he said, I'm going to choke a ref.
Yeah, do you know what? Like, I am never having that man freaking captain my ship. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
For plenty of reasons. But you got it. I mean, if Siggy was driving the Titanic, like, he would have been the first one off.
Yeah, no, I'm out of here. I feel like I'm going to choke that iceberg. I'm out. Like, it's ridiculous. I can't believe that we got that far talking about this without mentioning the fact that like he publicly threatened to like assault this man. And then did you listen to the post-match interview that he did? I didn't either. But he just saw
the clip.
He doubled down on it.
I didn't even want to humor him with a freaking like view.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. It's wonderful. I love it. Sounders Freud.
The U.S. Cup was, I mean, and to be honest, since Dempsey is such a big name,
yeah, yeah,
and you know, I'm actually kind of glad it happened because. It really brought a lot of national exposure.
Oh yeah, because a lot of people.
US Open Cup.
Whenever you see a Sounders or a Timbers fan, you know, talking shit about Dempsey, people are just like, oh well, you know, you're the rival, right? Like,
right.
Of course you don't like him. But now, like the top four things on like the on RMLS subreddit are just like, wait, did Dempsey really rip this thing in half? Like Twitter was exploding all about it, like.
So like mainstream sports organization.
What just happened? Like, oh, did we even get to talking about Ross Fletcher?
Oh no!
Oh my God! So the one of my favorite parts. There are so many.
So
great
here's
things
the deal.
About this match.
Yeah, and but this is the thing about this match though is that before, while the play was so terrible, for the first half, everyone just had a field day listening to Ross Fletcher in all the wrong ways. Like, that's the thing, like, you love the guy.
I kind of do.
But for me, it's like, listening to him talk, you can't tell if he's, like, purposely being, like, quirky and edgy, or if he's just sexually repressed, and it just drives me nuts.
It's one of those things, it's not only what he's saying, I think it's the smoothness and how he's saying it. Like, it's, that man has fluidity. Like, he's like a liquid metal panther. In the voice, you know, in the announcer box, like he's just it's. I mean, he's been doing it 17 years. Apparently, he mentioned a couple times last night, but
yeah,
he's
got a face for radio.
Yeah, like he's got, you know, he obviously he's a little bit of a Sounder homer, you know, like, but you know you kind of have to be a little bit, right? But just some of the things he said, and Twitter's full of this, and Reddit's full of some of the quotes, you know. Gosh, a pal who he calls a whippersnapper. I kind of like that. But I took a lusty swig of water. Like, I've never thought about drinking water, like, in a lusty way before. But, like, it's kind of, I don't know, after he said it, it was like my eyes were open.
I mean, like,
and like
when I hear lusty swig of water, I'm thinking, like, Landon Donovan at a water fountain.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's what comes to my mind.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Landon Donovan sitting there just being all
lusty
sexy.
Swig of water.
His lusty swig.
I hadn't even thought about that's beautiful. But I also loved his fixation on the referee's haircut. He mentioned it a couple times. He was, you know, what did he say? The referee has one of those haircuts that suggests he'll be looking at the minutiae. Very tidy, slicked over hair. He called him the ref with the world's best, most neat and tidy haircut. Yes, I'm a bit jealous, but I'll continue to call the game. It's just, oh my gosh, I don't know. Just some of the awkward, angular Gangliotti. He just has like a way of, I think someone on a Balloon It Behind, someone on Reddit put it perfectly. He has a knack for just seeming to effortlessly like throw in alliteration. Like it's, I don't know. It made watching the first half of the game that was not very interesting. It kept a couple bursts here and there. It made it a little bit more entertaining. There were some great, I'm so happy that Valeri played.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that Valeri played. It might mean, so I think Porter said that means he won't be playing against Houston. But I actually like that. So he said we're going to take the Open Cup seriously. And I would hope that any time that we play the Sounders, we take it seriously. But, like, he actually, money where his mouth is. Like, he did it. Like, he actually came out and did it. And that means playing Valeri. And it means sacrifice. So, like, it's,
yeah. Can I just say, though, like, one of those things about MLS teams not taking the Open Cup seriously, I just don't know why they don't.
Oh, no.
Because, especially since regular season play in MLS means nothing. Like,
yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least until August.
I think the ones who do it most notoriously, though, it's got to be the Galaxy. And so if you look at,
the Sounders. I mean, the Sounders until last night, they like, built their franchise.
Oh, they took it very seriously.
Like when they came in, they're like, "We need to have trophies. We need to keep this meat in the seats."
Well, so, it got them into the Champions League too. Like, so that's one of the things. So the Galaxy not taking it seriously. Like Bruce Arena, a couple of years in a row, like didn't even travel. But I think with the Galaxy, you can kind of understand it, like. One of the benefits you get from winning, being in the Open Cup, you get in the Champions League, the Galaxy just kind of wins the league. That's what they do, right? Like, so it's, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I think what will get better as time goes on is these games, because the teams are going to have more depth now that they have the second division teams. So even if you have the second division teams playing in there, like the Sounders last night had, I think, 3 or 4 players on their senior roster that they pulled up, like, which meant that they're, anyway, the depth of teams are improving now because of this. And, I don't, it's, I like the Open Cup. I don't know. I like it a lot more after last night. I've continued to like it. I'm happy. I'm bumbling over my words because 7-Eleven, man. 7-Eleven. That was just the most ridiculous game I've seen in a while. Right now, my co-host is trying to line up another soccer game.
We're moving to DC United.
DC United versus Pittsburgh Roadhounds.
Which is surprisingly equalized.
Wow, 1-1 also. Okay. No clean sheets.
Do you see any upsets coming at this? I mean, I think if there's going to be upsets, it's going to be today.
I think the Cosmos, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, and they're playing, what, NYCFC?
Yeah.
Who've only recently looked like they're professional soccer players. I mean, like, it's, they finally recently pulled it together, but it's, I don't know. I think the Cosmos pulled that one. I think DC beats, yeah, so I think if we're going to point to one upset, it's going to be the Cosmos doing it. Who, honestly, probably, I need to take a look at their financials and see what their payroll is, see how it compares to MLS ones. I mean, I guess the other upset is our result, frankly. Like the, you know, like
I would say it was.
You know, totally. We beat the defending champion. Like,
they've won it four times.
Yep, exactly. I mean, like it's
the thing is the Seattle. Like we talk a lot of crap about Seattle, and they deserve it. But
in a place where they've never lost too, because Starfire till last night. Like,
yeah, but ultimately, like, you know, the Sounders are a good team. Like, if we're being serious about it, they're a great team. They had a great organization.
Yeah,
that like you know. Built a championship winning team.
I mean, it's the same way that Mordor is very good at being evil, you know? Like, they can be awful human beings, but still be very good at soccer.
I mean, granted, they rewrite the rules for certain players, but, oh, you know,
yeah.
it's,
But anyway, yeah, so that was the Open Cup. That was fun. We didn't talk about Troy Perkins, but whatever. Yeah, exactly. Someone, you know, and I think someone made a comment about, like...
Perkins.
Someone made a comment about, you know, them being like, glad he moved on, that he's not playing for the Timbers anymore. And they're like, but isn't he, though? Did you see how poor his defending was in the last goal?
Yeah.
You know, like that, that Yerudi blast?
I'm gonna say, like, that third goal... Well,
he was feeling
that
regret.
That was pretty bad.
He was feeling regret, you know, saying those things about the Sounders fan base at the expense of the Timbers sound base. And he's like, you know what? Or the sound base. The fan base. Yeah, and he's like, you know what? All right. We're going to lose anyway. That Maxi fellow looks nice. I'll let him have a goal. So this is the fourth match since the Same As It Ever Was banner?
Yeah.
You notice anything in common about all those matches?
Yeah, they're all wins.
Yeah. So is it because of the banner?
Right.
I mean, like, are we going to get superstitious about this?
No.
So...
Because here's the deal, like, I remember somebody even, like, said that, like, right on Twitter, like,
yeah.
Right after the match was done. Like, oh, look, they listened to us. I'm like, yeah, as if they don't have their score, like, their rosters filled out before they see TiVo in the stadium.
Oh, no, you're approaching this logically. I'm talking superstitious. I'm talking, like, don't wash your socks for the rest of the season superstitious. Like, I'm just saying, like... Next time, you know, I would like, what are some of the other, TIFO that we've had in the past that are, like, calling out the FO, right? Like, and not just the merit out two stick, right? Like, I'm talking, you know, like, a bigger one, like, what have the results been like following those? Like, because maybe next time we get on a bad, you know, we just need to do that and then we'll win. Like, I don't know. I'm saying correlation is causation, and science is a lie. I don't know. I think it's because of the banner.
Okay. Cool story, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, if you Tetris before the 90th minute, you're gonna lose, right? Is
that... Oh yeah, gosh, yeah. Don't ever do that. We did in the preseason. It made me really nervous. I don't know.
Supernatural thinking in the American sports fan.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. Gosh.
The other thing that's going on is the Women's World Cup.
Yes.
And let's just say this right off the bat. The U.S. Women's National Team game against Nigeria was the highest rated soccer viewership.
Really?
On Fox? Ever? Yeah.
Wow. Just
yeah, like
soccer...
beating out like the premiership in MLS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. I didn't even know that. That was without me watching. I wasn't able to watch the game. I was doing stuff. But
well, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's what
I'm awesome.
That's the fact that I heard, which I have not independently verified. So we're doing good.
I don't trust it. No, that's great. And honestly, I've been very pleased with the production level on Fox. Like it's, I caught a couple minutes of I caught the last 5 minutes of the France Mexico game today. The one that France beat them 5-0. But anyway, it's just the quality level, the production value was great, and it was. I'm quite pleased with it, actually. I also liked that I could, you know, just turn on Fox over the air and watch some awesome soccer, which is always a great thing.
Yeah, so this is what it was. It was a 5 million viewers, which was the most watched soccer match ever on the network. And that is per Richard Deitch?
Deitch? Deitch?
Deitch?
Deitch? Deitch? Deitch.
I don't know how you say his name, but he's a writer for Sports Illustrated.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah, so I mean,
yeah.
This isn't just some dude in his basement talking to nobody on a podcast. Like, this is some guy probably got paid for that stat, right?
Probably got, yeah. Speaking of, if anyone out there wants to give us money, as we mentioned previously, we'll sell out.
Sure. We will gladly sell out.
Yeah, we will sell out in a heartbeat.
Yep.
We
are looking for it. Profit over people.
Exactly. We're all about the profit.
Yes.
Which means so far, I think we're
in the hole.
We are definitely
probably
in the hole.
Probably at least like 10 bucks or whatever, right?
Well, are you figuring the cost of beer? I think we had this conversation before. Yeah. So for figuring the cost of beer, I mean, I'm doing it smart. I'm getting it from Costco. So it's like, it's, you know, I mean, so it's like a 24 pack of beer for $25. That's not bad, you know, but yeah. It's anyway.
I did learn the other day, that as a single man who eats a lot of Taco Bell,
where is this going?
That it takes me a little over a year to go through one of the giant Kirkland signature packs of toilet paper. Because I was so proud. I was so proud one day that my mom and dad came into town. They took me to Costco because I can't pay for that kind of a membership. Nobody's got time for that, you know? So my parents took me to Costco, and I bought one of those big old things of toilet paper, and I was so proud I actually, like, took a picture of it. When I put it in my pantry, I'm like, look at all this toilet paper I have. Like, I'm...
adulting, right?
I am, like, so prepared for, you know, come what may.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like I found that picture. I found that picture around the time that I had one or two rolls left, and it was exactly like give or take a few weeks, but it was a year. And so I was like, "Well, I know how much. Well, how long that lasts."
So now that you know that, so if you wanted to, you could go back and see.
I just think Costco should sponsor us,
right?
Although they're based out of Washington, and we talk about
it. Oh, we do.
I don't know if that'll work.
Well, they'll people will talk to our people, which means they'll talk to us because you don't have people. So, yeah.
Give us a call at Costco.
Yeah. Or
I lived off your trail mix in college, so.
Yeah. it's true. If you wouldn't have had the trail mix, you would have died.
Yeah. I would have died. Trail mix and Taco Bell.
Whoa, save off the line, it looks like, the Pittsburgh
No,
UC?
It wasn't off the line.
Oh, my death perception is awful.
So yeah,
but
so
Women's World Cup. We started talking about Taco Bell poop and toilet paper instead.
Yes.
Let that not be a reflection on the game or the thing. There've been some great games. There've been some blowouts. There's been Sinclair being amazing on the field.
But I mean, obviously, the biggest storyline that I hope is put to rest. Is that Abby Wambach is old?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Solo because you said hope. I thought it was going to be a pun. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a pun.
No, we've already talked enough about dirtbags from Washington. I don't think we need to talk about Solo.
That's a good point.
But
that volley, that was.
But yeah, like Abby did pretty well. I mean, like I think the reason why people are giving her so much shtick is that you know it's like the turf versus grass. Not, you know, stuff. And obviously it is a load of crap that women do get treated differently by FIFA.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, I have their back 100% there. But can we just lay off that freaking storyline and, like, just go? Like,
about the... Wait, are we talking about the turf now? Or are we talking
about
the...
Yeah, just like, okay. Oh, you know, like, Abby, you know... The first thing, after she scores that goal, the commentators say... was the turf had nothing to do with that. You know, like, or whatever the exact quote
was.
They talked about the freaking turf.
Was
not
it
like, oh, what a great volley. The power would be fine. That was ferocious.
It was like,
oh, yeah, the turf didn't cause her any problems there. And the problem with this stupid crap, that, like, that being such a primary focus, is that I was watching Cheers not too long ago, and Sam Malone... was trying to be, like, a sports commentator on TV.
Oh, I think I've seen that episode.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And, like, he's terrible at it.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you need to really cover the controversy. You need to cover the controversy. And so, like, he goes in the next day and he goes, we're going to talk about a topic that's tearing the sports world apart. Grass or artificial surface? This was, like, the late 80s,
yeah.
early 90s.
Yeah.
Here we are, 2015, and we're preoccupied with it. Obviously, the women's soccer teams, like, they have a legitimate gripe in saying, like, hey, if you have this standard for the men, we should have it as well.
Well,
but the fact that it is
standard,
such a distraction from everything else, like, it's just...
It's a standard for a reason, though. I mean, so it's an extra, like, what, 20 degrees hotter on the turf than it is
on
grass.
It's terrible.
The friction burns that you get. You know, who was it? Whose legs? They tweeted their legs after the game. One of the U.S. players. And her legs were just covered in
I think
some of the just the burns on there. The bounce is weird. But I think one of the players came out and said the turf, like one of the players came out and said, well, the turf is the reason that we're not, the U.S. isn't scoring that much. I forget who it was. So I think that may be why they brought it up. But
it's just, which is a dumb thing.
Yeah.
Like you can't, like, I think I saw one, like when Abby headed the ball directly, I think it was Abby, right into the ground, bounced over the net. Like, okay. You can legitimately say that
on grass. That was on grass. There's a chance
that would have had a different bounce.
Yeah,
but all the other things were like, no, she's on the verge of retirement and she hasn't played all year.
Yeah,
that's why she's not doing very well.
But mainly, the heat, how destructive it is on your body. Like, it's, I don't think it causes, is, I don't necessarily throw my money in with all the people who blame every single ACL tear on turf, like people like to do. What I wish is that we would just convert, we would just play, I don't know, play more on grass and we don't have to worry about the conversation. Or Frank, I feel like the turf's getting better enough.
Do you notice what we're doing right now? We're actually having the Sam Malone debate. That's where we're leading right now.
Did you see how
you got sucked into that?
I got sucked in! Oh, that's why he needs to cover the controversy. Oh, we're covering the controversy!
Oh my goodness. No.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
All five of you.
Oh, no.
But they're listening.
We're doing exactly what I didn't want to do.
Yeah, I know. Me neither.
But anyway, let's go Bacon Morgan.
Bacon Morgan.
So she got her first start. Tobin Heath.
Free Tobin.
Yeah. So both of them got their first starts at the Cup.
And how... Did you get to watch? I watched some highlights. So here's the deal. I mean, like, how was the overall play? I'm going to try to find a full replay a little bit later tonight. But.
I can really only speak to Alex. But
you're speaking directly to her.
Yes,
so like if your name isn't Alex Morgan, stop listening for like 3 minutes.
Because there's a bunch of dweebs that read Fast Food Nation and they're really upset at her because she gets endorsements from McDonald's or something. And like,
is that?
That's the only reason why. So a bunch of anti-vaccine Whole Foods moms hate Alex Morgan because she, you know, advertises for McDonald's. I don't know. We've already discussed this. We don't need to go into it. But anyway, Alex Morgan, everyone was giving her so much crap, so I'm going to come here and I'm going to defend you, baby. Is that... baby horse. I'm going to defend you.
That nickname.
She actually gave the back line hell. Like, she did...
Good.
She did really well. Like, just having her back there, even though, like, when she actually got the ball, it was pretty gross. Like, she didn't... Her finishes weren't there.
Well, she hasn't played in ages, right? So, like, she's coming back from... Which, I mean, honestly,
definitely,
like...
Definitely rusty on the finishes, but the fact that she was just there and giving that pressure and, like, reminding them that, like, oh, I'm... really good and I can sneak by, like it was great.
Which is great because the Thorns need that. Like, it's so, I mean, we're on a bit of a break from games right now, but was it, I mean, three losses and a draw, like, and it just generally not playing great because it doesn't seem like they're clicking without the stars. Yeah. Or so if,
and I will say this in terms of, I've really enjoyed seeing Thorns promos on Fox.
Yeah.
Like, that's well done, guys. all you men in the front office, good job on that.
About time.
I mean, obviously, there's probably a money issue, you know, for NWSL not getting as much, you know, coverage as they probably deserve during this World Cup, you know, to try and get some sort of a World Cup boost. But, yeah, I mean, it was good sitting there and all of a sudden seeing, like, the Thorns on a commercial. I was like, all right, yeah, good.
I'm really interested. That was off the line, it looks like. To see what the attendance numbers do after the World Cup. Because they're, I mean, so the Thorns obviously have the best attendance in the league.
That's great. I don't. They have that whole 76 gas station promo.
Which
I buy gas and get a free ticket.
Two free tickets.
Two free tickets.
You get two tickets.
The North End is packed. Like my friend actually tweeted out. He's like, "Does anyone have tickets? Because they're at capacity," is what he was told. So.
Yeah. So the Thorns, I mean, we have a great fan base and it's solid and you don't have to worry too much about that. But some of the other teams around the league, I mean, it's getting better in some areas, but then there's other teams, I think, is it Sky Blue? That were averaging, I think the last game they had something like 593 people or something, you know, like it's.
Some of those look pretty, like watching them at the away
game. Yeah.
And they're like. Just old dudes.
And like, on one hand, you hope maybe the camera is just on the side where all the other people are hiding, but no.
It's just these old couples on a date night with a picnic basket and a folding chair.
And you just hope, I mean, so like, we're in the third year now of this league, and the last couple leagues haven't made it that far. So the timing of it might work out great for the NWSL, is that if they can ride this boost through the rest of the season, finish strong, then maybe they can come back for next year stronger than ever. I mean, I think there's more talks of more MLS teams wanting to partner up with NWSL teams, which I think is a great way to add stability because you're inheriting and using all the infrastructure. Soccer. We love it.
Soccer.
We've been away for a while.
I will say, going back to the Open Cup, I'm tying this into our weekend preview, is that one of the matches you should look out for is on Saturday, the Seattle versus San Jose match. Do I need to say anything else? Like, do I even need to like go into detail about why that one's going to be amazing? Oh. So
one of the other things about, I mean, so,
and then on top of that, and just to tie it back to the Open Cup, is the only one closest to an upset was Sacramento versus San Jose.
Yeah, because Sacramento was a great team.
It went to penalties.
Rodrigo Lopez penalty the first goal. I think he scored 6 minutes in.
Six to five, San Jose got through on penalties.
So the other thing about,
Sounders too almost beat.
The other thing about the Open Cup game, Timbers versus Seattle, is while I am ecstatic about the result, I don't like that Obafemi got hurt. The Sounders won't be as good of a team without him, and that might benefit the Timbers in the long run, but you don't want to see someone get injured ever.
Yeah, I will say that, like, some of my friends who are in the Traveling Timbers Army section, like, one of them posted the video. And they rolled him right out, like, right in front of the Timbers Army section. And the video that she had, it was just all applause. They're like...
Good. I mean,
it was just such good sports.
He's an exceptional player. Like, he is...
He's the designated player that you would want on your team.
Yeah, he's dynamic. He's hardworking. He's terrifying in a mask.
Yeah.
The mask he was wearing last night, like, he already terrorizes the back line because he's that good of a player. But then you got a mask, and he's a little bit...
And I remember talking so much to Mac, being like... Who is this dork? You know, like
you know, and all of the oh, he's actually 52. All
yeah,
of the, you know,
like, I mean, we banter, bands.
Oh, yeah,
but the
exactly.
fact of the matter is,
he's
like,
an amazing player.
He's really proven his worth. And like, if you are a general manager looking out and being like, you know, who's a designated player on my team that I would want? I think
someone of his level.
Obafemi Martins would be a perfect example.
Yeah.
Seattle and San Jose this weekend.
Rest up, get healed, Oba. And then once you're healthy, play poorly for the Sounders. I mean, like, I want you to be healthy.
Yeah,
but
I don't want you to be dead or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Yeah, that one, it's going to be interesting. How many goals do you think Wando gets? Because, you know, he'll get...
I don't know. You know, the Sounders are going to be pretty wound up still. And they played 100. They had 120 minutes on that field.
Yeah.
A lot of them were first team players. So, I honestly think San Jose will probably put two on them.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I guess I don't know.
Wando will eat it up.
Yeah. So I mean, are they still without? So one of the players that actually I've been really enjoying watching for San Jose, Vitaly Alache, I don't know if he's still away with the under-23s. I think so. He's a rookie center defensive midfielder, kind of plays this box-to-box role. He's been really exciting. He was the one that scored the first goal for them at their new stadium. Great player, who I don't know if he's going to be there on this weekend, but I think the Vancouver-New York game is going to be – that one is going to be exciting to watch, I think. Both of those teams, when they're playing well, play some attractive game. I think out of looking at them, I think that's the one that I think I'm probably most intrigued by. I mean, other than probably Portland. Houston, if we're going to be complete homers about this, like, obviously –
It'll be really interesting to see if they can make four league wins in a row. I mean, let's see how long the streak.
I mean, who's to say we won't just win out the rest of the season? If we're gonna put money on it, I probably wouldn't. You know,
well, I actually got a great text in the middle of the game from Angry Dave.
Yeah. Oh yes,
he's he's in Brooklyn now. He's left us, but. He sent me a text in the middle of the game, and he's like, I'm trying this new thing out called pessimism. I've been too hopeful for the Timbers. And he's like, ever since I just assumed that we're going to be terrible and suck, they've done well. Well, they've won. So he's like, I'm just going to assume the worst from here on out.
I can back that up, because I don't know at what point during the game I got this text, because my phone died. I got it the next day. But this is obviously before the end of the game. I got a text from him saying, how embarrassing is it going to be when we lose this game?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm assuming maybe that was when we had I think it was probably after a couple of red cards or something like that. But I got that during the game. So, like, yeah, so...
Just to illustrate this fact further. And, I mean, this whole podcast really is obviously just been us talking about that game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to be honest, that's to be expected right now.
Well, and also, I think it shows how much of a need that filled. Like, I think we hinted at this, but we didn't actually outright discuss it. I think this refreshed the rivalry.
Oh, for sure.
And so, I mean, I saw someone say something along the lines.
The first one, people were, like, picking their noses and looking at their phones, and it was so contrived. But, like, this one, it's like, this was, like, that good old-fashioned, like, hatred for Seattle. And, like, it's that rivalry has needed that kick in its ass.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some moments, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we've been buddy-buddy with them and know there's no hatred on either side, but I think this made it interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, this kind of turned some of the narratives on its head. And someone, I think, was it Oshin, one of the main Sounders guys, players, or not players, fans, said something along the lines, like, you know, result aside, this is exactly what this rivalry needed it's been kind of bleh lately, and this kind of this restarted it, you know.
And yeah, for sure. And I remember one of the best moments as a Timbers fan was being in that stadium and having Freddie Montero sent off.
Oh yeah,
that was one of the loudest I've ever heard that stadium. And you know, just seeing that Clint Dempsey get sent off, like. It felt like that, but times 10.
Because
just the circumstances, and because here's the deal, like, one of the reasons why it was so satisfying, one of the reasons why those villains feel that way to you, like, when you see them, like, get theirs, is that they're good.
Yeah.
Dempsey is a good player.
Yeah.
Montero was good.
Eddie Johnson. You know, like, it's...
all these guys that you love to hate are good at their craft.
And it's even worse, though, I think, when they're only good against you. So Roger Levesque,
he was one of the ultimate
villain, frankly.
Yeah.
That you respect him for his craft and being a villain, he seemed to only show up against us.
But this goes back to the pessimism piece, because one of the reasons why it was so satisfying was that the Timbers had a 2-man advantage, right? After Obafemi Martin went out with the injury, you know, and then the Brad Evans red card. Is that the Timbers had a 2-man advantage and we still sucked. Like, there were at least 2 instances where I saw, like, I was like, number one, I was like, why are they even playing? Like, why do the Sounders even have a chance at scoring right now? And then on top of that, like, Dempsey when he was still on the field. Like, there was one or two times where he just devoured the back line. Yeah. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, in my brain, I was like, Clint Dempsey single-handedly is going to freaking equalize this game. He's gonna send it to freaking penalty kicks.
Yeah,
and we're gonna lose.
And he just,
like that was honestly where my brain was at.
And they have the quality player. And the same thing with, I mean, so like Oba, who got one of the goals, right? So like it's one of the fact that they have players that level and just I don't know. Yeah, the pessimism, right? You're kind of you expect it. That game. Yeah, that's really pretty much all we've talked about.
We touched on
some World other Cup. Stuff. We didn't even mention the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah. The kit change.
So the Sounders went and changed. I'm assuming maybe were people having a hard time with the color. So like
it was ridiculous. It was really close. It was dark tops, light shorts.
Yeah, it was really close. So I'm you know, it was much easier to follow once they did it, but they went in at half. And came out in a different kit. And the only other time I've seen that is in a little movie. Was it D2? Was it the second one?
It was when they were the national team.
Yeah, so that's the second, the Mighty Ducks, right? D2, the Mighty Ducks, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was D2.
Yeah, when the Mighty Ducks go in at halftime, or, you know, in between the second and third.
Emilio Estevez loses sight of their goal and their purpose as a team.
So they change jerseys and they get closer to their ideals, right? And then
they remember who they are.
So the Sounders go in at halftime and they change jerseys, and then they get closer to their ideals
and their true identity, and they remember who they actually are,
and they fall apart,
and they are really just a big pile of poop. They're just a big pile of
tantrumine. My gosh, it's just So the other fun thing, so like I wasn't able to watch this game live. I watched it this morning. Doing what I call the Chris Boyd challenge, which I'll get to in a second. But I watched this knowing what happens during the game. So the announcer Ross Fletcher said, you know, he kept saying like, oh, surely they're not going to finish the game with nine men. And I was just thinking like, oh, he doesn't even know what's coming, right? And then like it gets dropped down to eight. Oh my God, are they really going to drop down to eight men for the last? And then I'm just like, oh, he doesn't even know what's coming. Then finally get to seven. The other thing that I thought was interesting, is that every time I saw the ref take out his little book and write in it, I'm just like, that book doesn't even know what's coming to him. You know, like that book is dead in like 30 minutes, right? Like it felt like watching a horror movie when you know the killer's running through the house and the woman is just prancing outside in her underwear for some reason.
You had the game spoiled.
Yeah.
And
so. Yeah, I had the game spoiled. So the Chris Boyd special. I've been trying to get a little bit more in shape lately.
We've gotten large.
Yeah.
We are hitting second puberty.
Yeah.
And we aren't healthy.
And, you know, I want to be a little bit healthier. And, so I have a treadmill in my
room. You gotta look good for your honeymoon night.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm under a month away from my wedding and I'd like to look nice. But anyway, so I was like, all right, let's get on the treadmill. Let's watch. And then I turn on a soccer game and then I start watching, you know, not going very far. And I'm like, why does this feel like, you know, like, I'm like, oh, okay. I feel like, you know, like I could just like walk along while watching the, you know, like, and then I'm like, wait, why does this sound familiar? Like, what does this remind me of? I'm like, oh, Chris Boyd. Like, you know, like, I don't think I'm going over more than 3 miles per hour the entire time. I just walk around watching a soccer game going on around me. It's mean. I love Chris Boyd to a degree. But anyway, yeah, so in my head, I'm calling it the Chris Boyd Challenge. I made it through 60 minutes, which I think fits with it being the Chris Boyd Challenge. Maybe one day it'll get bumped up to...
You can do the full 90.
Maybe one day I'll be match fit. I'll do the full 90.
Or you can just be a Sounders fan and do the full 80.
What have we rambled on
have
about?
We got, everything. Have we covered everything?
I think so. Yeah, I'm trying to... we're looking at some notes that I wrote.
Rodney Wallace is second goal.
Yeah, no, Rodney fucking Wallace. Of course, some of his saves were ridiculous.
Yeah, that was the biggest piece, is that, you know, before that game,
Yeah. no, just and we are actually, yeah, a lot of, even though the continuous quality of play was lacking at times, they're definitely, our players stepped up in some key moments. Our defense looked great at times. It wasn't quite as consistent as it has been, like, in the league lately. But, you know, on the whole, we pulled out the W.
W's a W.
So finally, I think one of the last things, I haven't talked to my co-host about this. Recently at Angry Dave's Going Away Party, I let some of our friends hear a chant that I have for Nat Borchers. We're doing this.
this is going to be terrible.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. But they told me that we need to get this chant out because it's a lot of fun. And obviously Nat is deserving of the attention. He's been a key in the back line. He's been great.
Are you just going to do it by yourself?
I think I'm just going to do it by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the man who invented the Arudy chant, and he's about to debut probably what will most likely be a very cringeworthy song for Nat Borchers.
It's gonna,
that I have never heard in my life.
Yeah, I think you have, though. It's a lot of fun. You've been drunk. That's the thing.
No, I don't drink.
Oh, that's a good point. Who am I talking to? All right, so it goes to a, you might recognize the tune. It's something, the song is called Turn Down for What?
Oh my God.
And,
I can't do this.
Yeah, okay. So my co-host is walking away. But to the tune of Turn Down for What, my chant for Nat Borchers. He holds the line, he's everything you're not. Nat blocks the shots. Nat blocks the shots. All right, imagine... Even, like, 30 people doing that at a game, how much fun is that? There's not enough hip-hop chants. The drum beat to it's pretty simple. That could catch on. And how much fun would you have? How much fun did Mike have? His whole just, like, walking, like, not even being able to listen to that. We'll listen to the sound quality of that. It probably sounds awful. Nat blocks the shot. He holds the line. He's everything you're not. Nat blocks the shot. It's great. And if he scores, you can change it to he leads the line. He's everything you're not. You know, it's
you know what? That
flexible.
Sounds like it came out of a going away party.
Oh, well, I've been workshopping it for a while. I've been workshopping it for a while. I get it stuck in my head because I'll hear the actual song and then.
Yeah.
So on that note, give us your feedback. We're on Twitter, $2 domestics. I don't know if we actually
blocks the shot.
I'm telling you, it's gonna be in your head, man. It's gonna be in your head. We'll see you next time. Nat.